I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's horrifying. 150,000 minor illegal immigrant children that have disappeared into this country into what is a modern slavery ring, being facilitated by the Biden administration's trafficking of these children across the country to individuals, as your article mentioned, who some are criminals, and nobody knows what's happening to these children. It's the Biden administration. Look, it's the co-chair of the Biden campaign, Texas Congresswoman Veronica Escobar, who represents El Paso, that may want to call home and inquire as to what's happening in her district with these migrant children that are being literally sold into slavery and human trafficking across the United States.
That is a frightening scenario, and it's happening. This is April 26, 2023. Those are the words of Robert Haneke. He's the executive director of Texas Public Policy, talking about the human trafficking, much less the drugs, the human trafficking, especially of children. There's something like 250,000 children they've documented they've come in. That's the minimum number. And hundreds of 50,000s and more are still missing. They don't know where they are. They come into the country, and they just disappear. I've got a guest coming up later talking about how they're tracking down some of these details, and maybe they might end up finding some of these children. But I also want to remind you that just the other day, the New York Times posted a story calling it the immigrant child abuse scandal that generated yawns. That's because no one was really paying attention. A New York Times investigative reporter saying the Biden administration had ignored, downplayed, repeated signs migrant children were being widely exploited, working overnight in slaughterhouses, replacing roofs, operating machinery in factories, all in violation of child labor laws, and that doesn't even account those who are fed into sex dens. The Biden administration is allowing it. I have a guest coming up later to give you more details on it. And there's more evidence apparently surfacing that Joe Biden is tied direct to Hunter Biden in his dealings, as expressed by Kentucky Congressman James Comer.
Our informants have told us there is, in fact, there will be evidence where it would point to Joe Biden. They had these family schemes that involve paying for things that would involve Joe Biden. So we're going to continue to dig. We're going to continue to track the money, both the money coming into the Biden accounts and the money going out of the Biden accounts. So we've got confidence that the president was involved.
That is a strong statement. We have confidence the president was involved. All right, that's Congressman Comer and his committee in the House. Yesterday, on the Senate floor, Senator Chuck Grassley heading up another investigation of the Bidens. He used very strong language in the Senate investigation of whistleblower information.
Protected whistleblower disclosures to my office make clear that the FBI have within its possession very significant, very impactful, and very voluminous evidence with respect to the potential criminal conduct by members of the Biden family. Based on protected whistleblower allegations, I know the FBI falsely labeled that evidence as Russian disinformation to bury it. To date, the Biden Justice Department and the FBI haven't challenged the accuracy of these allegations.
Senator Grassley saying, I know this is what they did. And he said they're not denying it, and he explains why.
They can't because my staff has independently reviewed records to support the allegations. And you can't forget that the now debunked Steele dossier, a document funded and created by Democrats and the Clinton campaign, a document that was actually subject to Russian disinformation. The FBI's willing and disastrous use of it to investigate candidate, and then President Trump sent our country into a tailspin for years.
And it continues spinning around and around, all based on lies. Meanwhile, the Walt Disney Company escalating its war on Florida, filing a lawsuit against the governor, accusing him of waging a targeted campaign of government retaliation. You know why Walt Disney Company is now doing that against DeSantis? Because he might end up running for the Republican nomination, which I'm sure he will. They want to wipe out anyone in advance, Trump, DeSantis, whoever else comes up. And, of course, they're not going to focus on facts. It's the usual playbook from the Democrats. In fact, this next statement from the White House spokeswoman, if you're driving, please, please do not lose control of your car while she's speaking.
It's clear that the Speaker's bill breaks House Republicans' commitment to America. In the run-up to the 2022 election, House Republicans promised to put cops on the beat. Instead, they're fighting to put fentanyl on the street by defunding Border Patrol. Their proposal makes clear that only things House Republicans are committed to giving to Americans are increased crime.
No. Cite me one source. Good God. Coming up, my guest, Laura Reese, heritage expert on Homeland Security and how we're being invaded and how they've documented, when and where and how much is going to escalate. And so far, nothing direct from Tucker Carlson about being fired by Fox. But just because Tucker Carlson is not speaking doesn't mean stories aren't being written, rumors circulating, anonymous sources coming up with information that may or may not be valid, but it's interesting. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I have some advice for you. Before you have anyone replace windows in your home, call Renewal by Anderson. Get information. Renewal finds where you're losing energy, driving up cost in summer and winter. It's easy to connect to Renewal by Anderson. Dial #250. #250 and say windows. That connects you direct to Renewal on the list of the most trusted companies, the nation's best warranty. Dial #250, #250 and say windows. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts, Allen Outdoor Solutions, lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend, Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before and always glad to have her, Laura Reese. She is the Heritage National Security Expert. Glad to have you on board again.
Thanks for having me back on.
Well, I tell you what, what sparked this is that I had noted that there were more reports coming out of NGOs, non-government organizations, as you well know, beginning to take more jobs of the Border Patrol. In other words, they're fulfilling the mission of the Border Patrol because either understaffed, they can't handle it, or they're just saying, oh, well, we'll take care of it. And to me, that's just, again, opening the gate even more. Well, hell, the gates, there is no stop at the border at this time. But what really caught my attention as I was looking into this is going back to a piece that the Heritage Foundation put out last December where you guys started tracking various cell phones linked to these NGOs. Give me a quick thumbnail sketch of that.
Yeah, so what we did is for 30 days, we bought anonymized phone data information, and we selected known NGOs at or near the southern border and traced the phone devices that went through those NGOs for 30 days. And what we found is about 30,000 cell phone devices went to every single congressional district in at least the lower 48 states. And so there are two big takeaways from this study. One, these are just some of the NGOs involved in smuggling, processing, transporting illegal aliens. And two, they are going to every single congressional district. And so members of Congress need to realize this is happening and to defund these NGO operations.
All right. Now, it's that point right there, federal tax dollars are paying for these non-government organizations to carry out these activities, correct?
That's right. They receive, this is a billion-dollar industry, and they get taxpayer money in the form of grants through many pots of money scattered across, intentionally so, multiple departments, whether it's Homeland Security, the Justice Department, Health and Human Services, Labor, State Department, and then many components within those departments. So it is not at all transparent, and that is intentional. And now that we are shedding light on this, and as we speak, House Homeland Security Committee is marking up a bill or debating a bill that says no more funds should be spent for this activity. Boy, do you have these organizations hollering about it. They do not want their tax cow threatened.
Now, and the general idea, I think, of the populace has been NGOs are humanitarian-type groups, Catholic charities, things like that, that step in and help the migrants, illegals, I'm going to call them, they want to call them migrants, when they come across the border, help them kind of get some clothing and food and shelter, and it's a humane operation. This is a political operation.
Well, it is political, but they like to hide and use as a shield while we're just helping out vulnerable populations. But their heads are in the sand, and anyone who believes it is just choosing to look the other way. What is in fact happening is historic numbers of unaccompanied children are crossing the border, and women and children are being smuggled, trafficked, raped, and these children are being also sent into child labor in the U.S. And so it's like these organizations saying, well, we just provide food and shelter. It's like Planned Parenthood saying, well, we provide other good services, too. We don't just do abortion.
Right. And yet that's their prime purpose. You know, before you joined us, I was reading a piece from the New York Times pointing out, maybe it's on your actual report now, that as to how many illegals, it's from Jim Garrity of the National Review, but he's referring to the New York Times, showing that all these migrant children already we know are being widely exploited, working overnight slaughterhouses, roofs, roofing, operating machinery, all violation of child labor laws. And then that some 250,000 migrant children, illegals, coming into the country, and we don't know where a lot of them are.
That's right. Nationwide, CBP has encountered over 371,000 unaccompanied alien children so far. And yes, they have lost tens of thousands of them. And that's who's ending up in sex trafficking and slave-like labor. I remember when Democrats used to care about child labor.
Yeah, right.
But what's so important is that when these members get a phone call from, you know, Catholic Bishops Conference saying, you know, what are you doing? We're just helping out vulnerable populations. Members need to stop going silent and flip this and say, why are you not only defending, encouraging, and executing smuggling and trafficking and child labor? members cannot remain quiet about this. And not only do they need to expose it and call out these groups, but they need to defund these activities.
And some of the video, we keep forgetting that, of course, according to the White House spokeswoman, no one just walks across the Rio Grande Valley. Well, just the other day, video surfaced of some guys dropping off a child right at the edge of the river, and then the child, I think it's a she, fell in the water, and thank God a Border Patrol agent was nearby and ran and got the child out and resuscitated them, kept them alive. But otherwise, they were basically abandoning the child at the border. They got them there. Now, often they were coming across in the beginning, they were told that you as an adult have a better chance of getting in if you have a child with you. And yet we had no way of knowing if that child belonged to them, related to them or not.
That's right. We've got a lot of fake families and children who are recycled. It is perverse. It's exploitation. And yet the left and these groups continue to fight for it. If they are threatened in any way, if these operations are threatened in any way, or if their funding is threatened in any way, they send in their lobbyists. And that's what is happening right now as we speak during this House Homeland Security Committee debate over a bill.
But you got Mayorkas has he just says we're doing just fine. We're doing exactly what we should be doing.
Yes, ironically, he says we're taking it to the cartels where they're at, and yet he is fanning the flames for smuggling and trafficking. His policies and operations are creating more trafficking victims. And so it's like being an arsonist and saying we're taking it to the arsonist and,
right,
and putting out the fire when they themselves are creating the fire. They don't get to then pat themselves on the back for arresting and prosecuting, you know, just a handful of smugglers or traffickers.
And again, on your report where you guys were doing these, following these phones, you pointed out the devices were traced to 423 separate congressional districts out of 400 plus. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, we did this in different phases, but in most of the phases, yes, those phones went to certainly every congressional district in the mainland, you know, the 48 states, some beyond that, just the mainland is shown in the picture.
So that tells you that there are operatives of each of those states just by tracking those 30,000 phones. And that's just a small number, obviously.
Right, like this is a tiny snapshot. This was over 30 days a year ago, and it was just using approximately 30 known NGO locations along the border. So there's quite an infrastructure there. Like I said, this is a big dollar industry, and members of Congress need to put pressure on this administration and these organizations to open their books and reveal all the pots of money and what's happening to these people.
Well, the other thing I'd raised earlier, and you point out in this because I'd mentioned the Catholic Charities, you point out that the Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley basically were serving as a host of NGOs and so forth, but did some of those with the Catholic Charities think that they're really doing good and not realizing the harm and how they're escalating it?
I find it hard to believe. I, like I said, I think they just use that as a defense of we're helping vulnerable populations. I think they are deluding themselves if they don't realize what's really happening here, the sex trafficking and the child labor. They can read the news reports just like anybody else. But I think the interest of keeping that money flowing, you know, guaranteed money from the government, what's better than that? So that's winning the day.
All right, so the other thing is I've seen more and more reports that they're actually taking over, quote, duties of the Border Patrol. So they're just meeting the people because the Border Patrol can't be everywhere. So they're meeting them as they come across and just take them. We don't know where they go at that point.
Right. And Mayorkas has said this many times, both in writing and orally, that they rely heavily on NGOs to help process these illegal aliens. And so what happens is the Border Patrol encounters them and then turns them over to an NGO location right there along the border. There's video of that, and the NGO will put a sign up outside that says, Border Patrol, drop off here, do not cross this line. I mean, it's just so blatant and out in the open.
What are the chances that you're not going to get anywhere with trying to shut off the funding? I mean, I know you've got a chance in the House, but and that's where appropriations come, but What is your battle at this point?
Yeah, it's going to be a battle to get it through the House because, like I said, you know, these organizations have strong, influential lobbyists that will silence members from doing anything. If, you know, if we can get it through the House, and I think they can, you know, muddle it through, then we're dealing with the Senate. But senators, too, I mean, for sake of humanity, there needs to be an end to this human suffering and to this trafficking. And this is a key tool that the left in this administration is using. Smart, you know, it's inhumane, but they know how to pick the emotional issues and the emotional parties to do their bidding of opening that border. And so senators need to think long and hard and vote with their conscience and hopefully stop this this horrible activity.
You're right about how they know how to play off the emotions, and you know, that's Kamala Harris was at the border when Trump was off. Look how these kids are caged and separated from their parents. And I don't see a single real Democrat going down there and making noise except some Cuellard, some others that live along the border and know how bad and dangerous it is. What do you expect, or timing-wise, on seeing if we can't shut down this federal money?
Well, the judiciary bill that was marked up last week and then the House Homeland bill that's getting marked up right now are supposed to be joined, and then the House would vote on that May, I think by May 10th. They're trying to do that before Title 42 ends. But it requires the appropriators to, in fact, prohibit any more funds going to this. And they are, unfortunately, appropriations bills never follow regular order anymore. They jam it into right before Christmas in an omnibus.
Right. Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation, I want to thank you, and I hope you're right that the legislators will vote their conscience and think about the kids. If they really do, we'll all get on the same page and protect the kids. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
This is an issue, folks, we've been talking about repeatedly, and again, I ask, how can they sleep at night knowing this kind of stuff is going on? Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota. For life. If you're even thinking about buying a home, you need to contact Homestead Financial Mortgage. Get pre-approved. Jump ahead of others looking at the same house. Often you can close in as little as 15 days. Homestead Financial Mortgage can guide you and your realtor through the maze that slows down the process. Go to my website, easy to remember, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. My first name, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I can feel my face when I'm with you.
My love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when what deep in love is, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I looked last night at President Biden's platform when he ran for president. He supported amnesty for the 11.7 million people in our country illegally. He promised he would end the Remain in Mexico program. He promised he would end the Safe Third Country agreements. He promised he would get rid of the border wall. He promised to encourage sanctuary cities. And he said, I'm not going to deport people. Can we agree that you don't have to be Mensa material to understand that's an open border policy?
Senator, a few of your recitations, if I may respectfully submit, were not accurate portrayals of the president's policy. He did not
say... I looked up his platform last night. It's right there. I mean, here's what I believe on immigration.
Senator, again, I would respectfully disagree with your characterization of the president's policy.
Mayorkas responding to Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. Respectfully, sir, I would disagree. Mayorkas is clearly not Mensa material either. And also, Kennedy asked him, are you aware of how many illegals coming across the border are criminals? Sir, I don't know that we do have any criminals. Oh. Well, what about those who are coming in on our own welfare? Can you tell me? No, I don't think anybody is on welfare. Stop it right there. Let me tell you something that took place just 2 days ago. The Department of Health and Human Services is proposing a new rule to extend eligibility for Medicaid and Obamacare coverage to those in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival program, and it would end up including 580,000 individuals illegally in the U.S. You know how they're going to do it? They're going to change a word. One word of the Obamacare states that if an individual is not a citizen or national of the U.S. or an alien lawfully present in the U.S., they're going to take out the word alien and say non-citizen, which means that'll have to be a way to slip them in, I guess. It's jumble words all over again. All we do know is it's going to cost at least $2 billion in the first 5 years. And I'll remind you that Barack Obama, in September 2009, addressing a joint session of Congress, said, references Obamacare, the reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Do you remember Congressman Joe Wilson, Republican, South Carolina, shouting out, you lie? Ooh, they didn't like that. But now looking at seeing what's going on, it's exactly coming true, isn't it? And Mayorkas tells Senator Kennedy, one, I don't believe any criminal elements are coming in the midst of the illegals. If they're transporting children, basically trafficking children, women, boys, for sexual purpose or whatever, that's criminal act. If they're bringing in drugs, fentanyl, that's a criminal act. Or they own welfare. I don't know that any, and Senator Kennedy said, have you been to California? He says, yes, sir, I've lived in California. He said, check their welfare rolls. Find out how many on their rolls are illegal. And now we've got the Biden administration pushing forward to expand all this. You know what this is going to do. You know what this is going to do. This will encourage more illegal immigrants because they're going to see how they can get free government benefits if they get here illegally. Free, of course, does not include you. It does not include hardworking Americans. Yes, we have a streak of humanity. We want to help those who are worse off, but I mean, we can't give everything away to everyone else. I mean, it has to come down to my family first, to be honest. My family. But that's the way we're going, and Biden wants to do it again, wants to continue the work he's done. Oh, no. I don't want that to happen. Then, of course, again, maybe he's not even aware that he actually did announce, quote, by tape or whenever, the other day. Wake up, sir, you got an announcement. Okay, now I'll go back to sleep. All right, enough of that subject. There's another one that's drawing a lot of attention. Let me make sure you understand this. Tucker Carlson has yet to say anything publicly and for public release about his firing from Fox News. That said, there are sources that are coming out and offering various pieces of information. But before we get into that, last month during a radio interview, last month when he was still at Fox News, Carlson admitted he was enraged that some of his private communications were made public as part of the Dominion lawsuit. And he said, all of these were grabbed completely illegitimately, in my opinion, in the court case, which I guess I'm not allowed to talk about, but I'm enraged that my private texts were pulled. And among them were remarks he made about I hate Trump. Now, Fox is owned by billionaire conservative media mogul Robert Murdoch, but being run by his sons. And some of the remarks regarding Trump, according to one source, saying the remarks that Trump, that Carlson had made about the upper echelon, including Murdoch, might have also been part of his demise. And then again, you got the remarks about Trump, which, again, according to the Journal, talking to one of colleagues, apparently, saying that Carlson admitted, yeah, I might have said that during a momentary spasm of anger, but my desire for Trump is deep and enduring, words to that effect. But Tucker Carlson is supposedly, according to an anonymous source, talking to Vanity Fair, suspects that Rupert Murdoch's children were looking to sell Fox News eventually, and that influenced ending the hit show Tucker Carlson. And again, according to sources, quoted by Vanity Fair, Carlson was stunned by the news, and he certainly believed it's because of some remarks he made about Murdoch, the sons, and everyone else. He apparently told people he doesn't know why he was terminated at one point. Another one said that he got it apparently on a phone call from the Fox News CEO, Suzanne Scott, Monday morning. And all she would say is it was made from above, above her pay grade, basically. The LA Times is reporting that Scott herself was directly involved in that decision, citing a single source. And I don't know if she's the one that Carlson had referred to in one of the text messages as one of the senior female execs, calling her a C word. I'll let you fill that in. And as of last week, Carlson, again according to Vanity Fair source, said that he and Fox News were working on a new contract, keep him on the network for years to come, but he had also told people at the same time he did expect the contract would be renewed. So then he gets the call Monday morning from this Fox News CEO, Suzanne Scott. Again, the LA has, the press has a little bit different take on it. But as we pointed out to you the other day, in the Fox release, Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson agreed to part ways. I don't think they agreed, but somebody agreed that was what we're going to say we agree. We agreed? No, you don't? Well, it's done anyway. Period. End of Tucker.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
When you have to wait on something you really want, it's tough, but it's worth it. I'm talking about the opening date for Napoli C. Now, May 22. Opening day, May 22. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have some of the finest seafood, lobster, caviar. And, of course, keep in mind, you can always find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and now Napoli C, May 22.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let me clarify, when I said Tucker is through, that meant with Fox News. It does not mean he's really through. We're still waiting to see what his next move will be. And I'm also wondering, here we are, this is Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, my math skills, Monday, Tuesday, this is what, the third? Anyway, it's been at least a couple of days since Joe Biden announced he's running for re-election. Does Joe Biden know he said that? Does he know he's running for re-election? I'm wondering. Because they did not let him go out on the campaign trail and say, I'm here and I'm going to run again. And I'm announcing on this date 4 years from the date I first announced. Nope. It's basically, what's, well, I want to go and run. And again, we're going to finish the job we started. And again, from the New York Times today, my morning slap in the face. From their columnist pointing out, good morning, Larry, slap in the face, and talking about Joe Biden and the difficulties of him running. He said, it's not so much Democrats are worried about his age, but can he win? Well, that's an entirely different game, isn't it? And there's a question somebody asked the other day. I want to answer it for you. Did Joe Biden pass the bar exam? He passed the bar, but did he pass the bar exam? 1968. Let me get the date hard to read for me. He did earn a Juris Doctorate from Syracuse University, ranked 76th in his class of 85. 76 out of 85. So next time he starts saying, I know when I graduated the top of my class in law school, I don't think so, Joe. Unless you're starting with number 75. He failed a course because he acknowledged, quote, a mistake where he plagiarized a law review article. That's not a mistake to plagiarize. That's one of the first things a lawyer should know. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.